Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrews.
Hello, my sister.
Hallelujah. That's our little Tirza, who is not so little anymore, that you hear at the end of every show. She says she was born here at Straight Way. Bless you. Greetings to the scattered Hebrews, to the Israelites according to prophecy, and the children of the promise. I salute you. Bless you to the viewers. Thank you, subscribers, followers of the Straightway Truth. Welcome to another show, sister to sister, tonight. Come aboard, another live show. I like to say it. There's at least one new listener each week. Our show records, or our recording of the live show, is posted on our channel, and it's often found for the first time. So I'd like to give you how you can find it live Thursday night, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time at blogtalkradio.com/straightway. So I'm going to jump over to Georgia, and I'm going to ask Mother Jennifer to chime in, say a greeting, salute you, Mother, everyone there in Georgia. Welcome to the live show.
Shalom, Sister Ashley. Blessings to you. Greetings to all of you daughters of Zion. It's an honor to be here with you for another episode of Sister to Sister, and it looks like the numbers are growing, so that's a really exciting thing. So bless you all, and thank you for taking time out of your day to be here listening. And I pray that everyone can hear me. I can hear you well, Sister Ashley, and it looks like we have 10 rolling in the chat room. Bless you, Sister Zakina, behind the scenes, and I'll see you all very soon. That's all I have.
Very soon, 192 hours from now. I asked Chef, hey, how many hours till Passover, right? So we're giving you hours this time, 192 hours. I was like, are you sure that's it? Wow. Bless y'all. Greetings, beloved, scattered. Bless you, bless you. I want to thank the Most High Yah. Father, you have been good to me. Oh, how great is your goodness. I agree with King David. You truly strengthen my heart, and you're all I have, and you're all that I long for. Hallelujah. I want to give my acknowledgments as we get our sound checks and as everyone begins to roll in for tonight's show. Thank you, every one of you who spend any moment listening. Thank you very much. I share the honor that my husband has. So I acknowledge him first and foremost because he has no seed of doubt in his heart for our shepherd. There's never been any dissension in him towards Pastor Dow. He's known him for maybe 23 years. He's never had malice or ill will ever expressed to me in any kind of way. Never been offended ever or expressed it to me in any kind of way. No reason not to trust him with my life. He speaks with no guile. He allows no contention. He's never ever misled me or allowed the enemy to be between him and I or him and his shepherd. He's a lover of the brethren and a lover of hospitality. And I, too, Mother Jennifer, want to thank the Most High Yah for putting his spirit in an empty vessel, a man named Pastor Dow, that leads us here at this Straightway Truth. We're able to hear Yah's voice inside our pastor, and I hope that we are able to take that very serious. And I hope that you're able to acknowledge that. There is a pride that can creep in. You know, you've been around 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, maybe five or so on and so forth, and the pride can come and steal and choke out the word. And you can forget the love and the joy you had initially. You can forget the respect that you had initially. You can reverence this show, that show, this video, this man. You know, you begin to see Yah in these people, and then over time, you see a man according to the flesh and you lose your zeal. So I definitely am very, very thankful for the Father giving me the heart and mind to stay very consistent in my love for Pastor Dow, for his family. And hallelujah. We are Hebrew by custom, Israelites by the gathering, Yahudims following the tribal customs of Judah. We'll mention a few new terms tonight for you briefly after my acknowledgments, just so you can know where we stand. Sometimes that helps people when they first find us and they have a ton of questions. So I'll cover that just a little bit. But Pastor is he's a secret keeper. And what I mean by that is he's learned to fish, you know, be a fisherman, be a fisher of men, not ever revealing his intentions. When you're led by the Ruach and you have these leadings that are not in arrogance and you know that it's the Father that's directing you, you, as an obedient servant, him as an obedient man, you just follow that. And no matter how much, you know, oppression or, I guess, attack, I can say, that you get, he just stands really strong. He has reasons why he does what he does and says what he says, why he stays so long on a subject, why he drills something, why he backs off. There's a reason for every dynamic. He's a shepherd. As I said, even before on the show, there's no one that can tell him how to do that role, and it's not in question. I've learned the dynamics of his spirit, and it's a foundation that's really rooted in fear and trust of the Most High Yah, and it's unparalleled to anything I've ever seen. It teaches a lot of men. It teaches a lot of women. I'm very, very thankful for that tool. I'm thankful for the women that are around me, that are in my life, that are also tools for me, for my perfection, as well as showing me my righteous Yah. So I can be more grateful for the blood of the Messiah that is easily denied these days with so many antichrist spirits. I thank him so much for his culture restoring unto us his way and not our way. But bless y'all and bless everyone with the ears to hear tonight. If you stop by for the first time, I pray that you enjoy the show, that you get something out of it. I know that its intention is to always edify. So thanks again, Mother Jennifer, for your consistency, for being on the show so long and so much, even with what you have going on behind the scenes, just setting aside time for us each week. It's meant a lot to me throughout the years, and it is our way to communicate as well, me and you. So thanks for tuning in, and share your heart.
Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. First, I just want to acknowledge the Most High Yah for allowing me to hear his truth, for giving me ears to hear his truth. I had my own truth that I lived by for most of my life, and one day I cried out for his truth, and he granted my request, and he allowed my ears to be opened to hear his truth. So I'm truly grateful excuse me, for his keeping me, even in those times when I followed my truth, what I thought was the truth. But I'm just so grateful for what he has done in my life and what he continues to do. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for his stability in such a an unstable world that we live in right now, for pouring into me, for teaching me as a woman how to learn how to discern, how to properly discern myself, to bring about the change that is needed as his woman. And finally, I want to acknowledge Pastor Dow for his labor of love for the people. You know, I was thinking today about the refuge that we have as women, and I'm so appreciative for Pastor Dow because of his labor that we have safety as women, you know, the refuge in Yah that we have, not only in Yah, but also in the homes that are being built and the communities that are being built and the investments that he's putting into each community, each homestead, each home fellowship, the investment that he's placing into the men so that the men can teach the women. It really is the perfect order, and I'm so grateful for that. So bless you, Pastor Dow. Blessings to your entire family and for all of the labor that you all do. And that's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Hey, so Passover being 192 hours away, just a week away, you know, we don't have a show next week. Next week is when a lot of you arrive. That's a large day for us. It'll be next Thursday will be the 25th, so I'll see some of you then. Hey, plans are great. Menu is in place. Food amounts for how much food is up the hill, how much food is served down the hill. The shifts are all set for the serving team. Chore lists are ready. Itinerary will be on a screen this year. You can digitally see it. Snap pictures on your phone if you need to. Our tables and chairs are counted. The grounds cleanup will be the 21st. We have, before each feast, we invite the many hands that make light work, our off-land crew that has forsaken all and moved closer to the community to follow the Messiah. And honor, double honor to their husbands and to everyone who is able, because maybe not all are able, but everyone who's willing and able to come out on the 21st. Look forward to seeing you. It's going to be a great day. We get a lot done. I'm really, really thankful to work together and to get to see each of them outside of the Sabbath day, you know, another day where we can work together. We'll have living water for you to drink. We'll have clean food for you to eat. The store is first day, the 28th, and hey, if you see somebody that you haven't seen in a long time, tell them you love them. If you see somebody that's made an impact in your life, encourage them. You know, come with a purpose to be grateful, to praise, whatever you need. You know, be desperate, be willing, be able. Sisters, please sign up. Our chore list will be there. Check it every day if you need to. Check for those blanks or those spots or those little small opportunities where you can squeeze in. What else? Passover, I know you guys are packing up, baking, cooking, shifting, shopping. Mother Jennifer, how are you guys doing?
Sister Ashley, we're doing very well. This is the first year. Well, I'd say this is the second year. Last year we had the help of Straightway Florida. They helped us out immensely. This year we have people who have moved around, you know, our land. So we have off-land saints who have offered their homes, their ovens. They've gone out and bought food, and, you know, they're really laboring. And I just appreciate everybody's willingness to step in and help to prepare what we need for the feast. And everybody is so willing, even when we get there, you know, they're constantly saying, whatever you need me to do, whatever you need me to do, I'm available. Put me to work. Use me. And so I am excited about the willingness in the hearts of the women and just the love that I see going forward. So we're in a really good place. Sister Ashley?
That's a great report. I'm very encouraged by it. Blessed be the name of Yah, just for transforming us, you know, allowing us to be a people before we weren't a people. We have hundreds of dozens of eggs already in the fridge downstairs, down the hill. Hey, so any other announcements before we kind of move forward?
I cannot think of any other announcements. That's it. That's all I have is Passover.
All right, Passover. We sure got our mind on getting clean and being ready. Be a blessing from the audience. Thank you so much. Be a blessing. Right now, a priority would be napkins, but at the same time, we wouldn't need everybody to get them. So maybe if you haven't grabbed something or you want to grab something on your way in, napkins would be great. We use a lot of them. Anything else? I haven't heard any. 12-ounce cups still? Yeah, that's still an option that we're receiving. Thank you to everyone who's sending you sunflower oil or honey. Everything's still open as far as hitting numbers. No, not yet. But as far as receiving a gracious amount, yes. So thank you, thank you, thank you. It means so much. It means so much, and it's definitely not unnoticed. Thank you to the offerings and the letters of support that always come this way. Everything that is read by Shepherd or responded by Shepherd, even in concerns to your love for the body or the people or the show or anything, thank you so much for your communication and for your giving. Jennifer, my mother, my friend and sister, we are not Christians. Is that correct?
That is so correct. Sister Ashley, absolutely.
Was there a struggle when you had to, if I can say, deny that term? Because was there once a time that you called yourself that?
Yes, there was a time when I called myself a Christian. And, you know, I remember even, you know, just trying to be so devoted and, you know, just really being religious and not understanding. But I remember telling God, you know, I will forever be a Christian. And I remember having to really break that vow that I made in my ignorance. So when I met Elder Rufus, I remember he did not call himself a Christian. He said, we are servants of the Most High. And that is what he called himself. And that's where I learned to get rid of the term Christian. And then when we came to Straightway and we fully learned our identity, everything just really came together in such a beautiful way. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Tonight I'm going to ask you to read an email. I don't recall the name of it. It's something about divine, maybe. If you can look for that email, Jennifer, and just be ready to read it. I'm going to give just some thoughts that come to my mind as, you know, I try to pay attention to as pastor is a fisher of men, of men's souls, right? And he's being led by the Father. I try to pay attention to who he's speaking to or who he's reaching or patterns in his speech or patterns in our emails, et cetera. I try to pay attention to that so that I can follow or and do my best at following. So when I say we aren't Christians, it seems like at this point, you know, it's still a gathering. The gathering is still going to continue until the last soul is sealed. So as we are gathered, we're also denying and ridding ourselves from idolatry. So we're not Christians and we're not Lutherans. We're not even black Hebrew Israelites, okay? We're not full of Hebrewisms. We're not queens. No church, no assembly, no she-man could break me from who I was. Okay, there was no assembly, no church, no title. I have never said I was a Christian. Matter of fact, growing up in high school, I was a part of a FCA group because that's what athletes did. You know, I never even knew what it stood for until the group was over. I'm like, oh, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Oh, I just knew it was FCA, and I got the benefits of being a part of that group. I was not taught well growing up. I did not fear the Most High. I faulted him because of the faulty doctrine of lying shepherds, lying men who call themselves pastors. There was no stability in my home. There was no order in my home. My mother ruled my home. So our customs, if you come over to our channel or you come into this faith, the way, the straight way, our customs and some of them that come to mind, honor the aged, honor all men, double honor to our shepherds and our elders and our leaders, submit yourself to one another, submit yourself to your own husband, love your sister as yourself, save your body for one man, one marriage, plead the blood of the HaMashiach, the Messiah, for your sins and for your ancestral sins. We cast out demons by the power given to us as disciples. We strive to walk uprightly, do justly, walk humbly, and sin no more. We pray. We pray often. We cover our heads as a custom. We love the homeborn. We love the stranger. We deny ungodliness. We do not support racism or white supremacy. We are Israel. Israel is a remnant, a small group of people. It's not about numbers. It's not about money. We were doing this long before a lot of numbers, and we were doing it long before a lot of money. The initial core foundation of this community and this group that you see and hear about as Straightway was not built with much money. It was built with faith and a lot of faith. So when he returns, will he find faith in you? That's the question. So we are commandment keepers, and we are learning, we are growing, and we are lovers of hospitality. So I hope that you would see some or all of those dynamics of the Spirit at each of our assemblies that are scattered throughout the United States or in other countries. We gather in our living rooms. We gather in a large building that we've titled the Tabernacle. It's truly a large, large living room. You can watch it every Saturday that we would call the Shabbat. We are not Jews, according to those who call themselves Jews, but are of the synagogue of Satan. We are not 501c3. And we don't require a vaccination. You know what, Mother Jennifer? This was funny. Today, I heard a new term. I said, I got to share that. If this is Urban Dictionary facts, someone shared. If you are fully vaccinated from COVID-19 and you brag too much about it, you're a vaxhole. That's funny, right? A vax hole. Fully vaccinated. Hallelujah. So no, we don't require vaccination. We don't require a mask at this feast. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, that's a long list, but do you have anything, any behavior or moral customs that you want to add?
Well, one thing that, you know, stands out about us as well is that's different from what I think, you know, we've experienced in the world is that men and women don't make it a point to congregate with one another. The women are typically fellowshipping with the women, and the men are fellowshipping with the men, and we are actually very content with that behavior or with that pattern. And even Pastor Dow shared, I believe it was either during a Sabbath service or a live video feed, that, you know, even the way that we are seated in the tabernacle is something that actually just happened. Yah placed it on the hearts of the people, and the people actually followed. It wasn't something that had to be stated, or it wasn't a directive given, but, you know, even the men and women sit separate in the tabernacle. And so it may seem foreign to some, but it is just, it's our way. It's our custom. And we're very content that way. Sister Ashley?
We are content, hand, we have the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You know, the fruit really, when you begin to separate the man and woman's role, and, you know, Yah begins to teach each of you how to be, what to do, things like that, and really minister to your spirit, it's a very, very offensive topic, very offensive. And it'll penetrate through every fiber of your being. It's a sword piercing to the dividing asunder of both soul and spirit, your thoughts, checking the most inner thoughts, right? So that's why I wanted to read this email tonight. And I'm not sure if this type of mindset, we're going to talk about the divinity of a woman. I'm not sure if this mindset is really intermingled into many minds of the women that I personally know. It's not something that I recognize at all. It's not something that I'm familiar with. But the divinity of a woman, we're going to read that email. And I wanted to ask around, you know, to kind of pick other people's minds, and I did. I do believe, you know, when it comes to what you believe, it's going to be based on your ethnicity, your skin color, your public school, your family's cultural background, maybe the books you read, the videos you've watched, you know, all those things compiled into you, overstimulating your mind, have now allowed each of us, right, prior to the way, to really go our own way. And so a lot of who might listen to us might not relate at all. But I think the gist of why I was led to initiate this as a topic tonight, of course, because of the email, but of course, I've heard this email also coincides with a couple of different statements that our shepherd has made in the past, let's say, week's time. So when you see that pattern, we just want to talk about it, and then hopefully it will allow someone to see the Father and see themselves for who they truly are. All right, so let's go to the email called Divinity of a Woman, Mother Jennifer. When you're ready, I want you to read it just all the way through, all the way to the end, and then we're going to start it over and just kind of pick it apart sentence by sentence. So go ahead.
The email says, Shalom. This email is a response to the constant woman bashing coming across the platform of this ministry. Women are being told that we are not queens nor divine. You refer to us as only property. If we are not queens, then how can the men refer to themselves as kings or priests of their homes? All life came through the first woman, Hawa, which is Eve. We have Mother Nature, Mother Earth. The man plants a seed in the womb of a woman to bring forth life. 9 months, a child is held, carried, and developed in a woman's womb. Only a woman can provide food from her breast alone for the children. If a man gets total custody of his children, he will need a woman to help take care of them. But women have single-handedly reared children without the man, with no government assistance for some. Yah says that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. This would be all who keeps his laws and commandments. Again, all life comes through women only. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. So let's take it piece by piece, Mother Jennifer. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. Shalom. This email is a response to the constant woman bashing coming across the platform of this ministry. Pause. I'm going to take you to a video. This is our Shabbat service on 3/13/2021. This is an example of what she would consider woman bashing, and she would have a problem with it. We have about, it's not even a minute long, all right? Let's see if I can get my speakers up. Y'all let me know if you hear me well, okay? Here it goes.
It's like I told that damn woman down in DMV, who in the hell told you that you were divine? That majestic.
All right, pause.
Woman,
pause for a second. I don't like my volume. Give me a second to go back. timestamp. Pull the speaker out for y'all. All right, we're bringing it out a little bit louder. Got a little background noise. Y'all give me a second, okay? Pull the speaker out. I don't want y'all to miss anything tonight. Anyone who's listening with interest, always, thank y'all so much. All right, so here we go. One more time. Now let's get a sound check, okay? Here we go.
Like I told that damn woman down in DMV, who in the hell told you that you were divine? And majestic. Woman, ain't a damn thing divine or majestic about you. And I'm telling you, this is probably the first time you ever met a man. Your little good looks and your little body, they don't mean shit to me. If I just better get the hell out of my face. If I had some dogs, I'd sick it on them. I ain't say nothing. No, I ain't the man going to be running around chasing you. The Bible said in Isaiah 4:1 that women going to be chasing men.
All right, pause right there. Let's go to our next clip. I hope y'all heard it. Ain't a damn thing divine or majestic about you, woman. Okay? That's an example of the many things you might hear and consider woman bashing coming across the platform of this ministry, as this woman has said. Now we're going to go to a video that was posted just, would that be today, on Straightway Help Me? Okay. It is a clip from Pastor's original video from his channel. It's called Truly Traumatized or Man Chasing. Okay. You got a 3-minute clip here. You're even going to hear from a valuable woman in the ministry, a mother. Hallelujah. And Pastor's Isha. All right, so here we go.
Isn't it about sickening, though, that these women, they're so traumatized. They're so damn traumatized 5 years, 10 years later. But they only are traumatized whenever someone is in office, someone is running for office. What do you think about that, Mama Carol? What do you think about that, women who wait to come out 30 years, 20 years, 5 years, 10 years, and you really truly don't know if it's true or not, but yet still society runs as if it's truth. What do you think about women who come out like that, acting like they're so traumatized, but they had been traumatized all those years before the spotlight?
Right. Well, we're in a time of so much vanity anyway, and women really have a high opinion of themselves and of their value.
And I often say there's nothing majestic or divine about a woman anyway.
I will say this. Sometimes it is sexual harassment, but I would probably say 85 to 90% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you an example. If a woman goes to a club,
mm-hmm,
and a man asks her, do you have a boyfriend? She would answer yes or no and roll with it, wouldn't think anything about it. But because someone else that works with them, which people that work together often have relationships, but if a man at her job asks her, she doesn't take the same standard. Now, I'm not saying that it's right for anyone to be harassed at work, because now it's more so women chasing men because of the diaspora of time that we're in, and it's really sad what I see. But to wait so long, if you're really that traumatized and you've really been done wrong, say it right then, because it doesn't hold as much validity if you come to 10, 15, 20, 30 years later.
Well, you know, most people say the reason why they wait to come out because they don't believe that anybody would believe their story. So here's the hypocrisy. So everybody says that, you know, now that they can give a story because someone is either in office or running for office, all of a sudden they can be heard better when they're throwing a smear campaign. You know, all this mudslinging that's going on. What say you about that?
Well, if you're really that traumatized and you are really that violated, you'll say, you know, some women don't out of fear, but if it's a fear for your life, I understand, maybe not. But most women, if you're that traumatized, you'll say something right away.
So, man, I'm telling you right now, you need to start actually reporting these women for sexual assault, sexual allegations. I mean, really. I mean, let's just see what kind of support you get from that. Because mostly, as you know, you're going to be pretty much the laughing stock.
All right, Mother Jennifer, do you have anything to add or say, interject?
I just wanted to say, you know, that those points that they've made on that video, they're very on point. You know, women are not held accountable a lot of times for the lies that they tell. Women are put in positions where they're able to actually destroy men because of words, because of lies, because of manipulation. And a lot of times you don't see women being held accountable. But if the tables were turned, and if it was a man doing the same thing, then you see that men are punished right away. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Let's go to a comment that's posted at the bottom of this video. Why isn't it popping up right now, Chef? Come to me. Come to me, Chef. It's a blank. All right, so I'll move on. I wanted to read this comment because, here it is, take the mouse. If you think that someone with this mind isn't following or isn't listening, they are, you know, obviously by the email and then also the comment that was recently said. And here it goes. A woman can be traumatized and still silenced in all kinds of ways, and for more reasons than apparently either of you have knowledge of, and you both sound stupid. Okay, so that type of mind is listening. Obviously, you're dealing with a deliverance ministry, so by every means necessary, we would help a woman who has been traumatized. Okay, so I don't have to defend that comment, but just so you know, I think it would be completely ignorant to claim ourselves to be a deliverance ministry and not yet help the women who have been violated, traumatized, sexually molested, harassed, etc. This woman's name is Miss Wright. So Miss Wright is Miss Wrong. We're going to the next sentence, back to the email. Women are being told that we are not queens nor divine. Okay? Women are being told that we are not queens and we are not divine. Thank you. I'm going to use the word divine for a moment to show you how we've been taught at this ministry to study. It's not like any of you need to look behind it if you're not interested. It's not like you even need to retain what I'm about to share. I'm just going to show you the dynamics of the twisting of words and how words evolve and words change. So looking at the word divine, now initially, this was even years ago, I am a homeschool teacher, and the dynamics of teaching how to read, how to spell, or how to write, you learn something called the root word. So the root word for divination is actually divine. The word divine appears in the Old Covenant, which is Old Testament, scripturally. The word divine, okay, appears only 8 times. And every time that the word divine is used, it's for the use of magic. Okay, so it was the practice of false prophets, oracles of kings that were divining and lying and witchcraft. We know that as a tribe or as a nation, as a culture, it was prohibited in Israel, because witchcraft and those things would pervert uprightness. It would allow things that were forbidden by our law. So I'll give you an example of Micah and a statement that he made. He was able to say, I am full of the power by the Spirit of the Lord, and I'm full of judgment. I'm full of his might, in order to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to declare to Israel his sin. So in the Old Covenant, we know that the prophets would divine for money. You know, no evil can come upon us, etc. So there was that witchcraft, that supernatural power that was used by idolaters, right? All right, so let's set that aside for a second. This is just a little, I don't want to bore y'all. There's no reason to even retain it, okay? But just apply this to any study that you do, okay? So you have a word. In Hebrew, it was kasam, okay? So they would say kasam if something was divine. They would say kasam, okay? Then by the time you get to the New Covenant, the word divine is only used 3 times, and it's completely changed. The pastor says transliteration, you know, translation. So the Greeks use a word called latria. And the English people, KJV, interprets the Hebrew word kasam just like they interpret the Greek word latria as the same English word divine. So latria in Greek meant to do service for pay and to worship God. Okay? Completely different. How do we use the word divine in English? They use divine in two different other time frames, and all three of them, none relate. So if you say you're a divine woman, what is your meaning, right? What are you saying? Your status, etc. So when the Old Covenant uses kasam, not trying to bore you, I'm moving on, and the New Covenant uses latria, and the English uses divine, now somehow we can say we're divine. When translating this text, obviously, into our hands and into our Bible uses, it was completely scrambled. In the New Covenant, you'll see it mentioned in 2 Peter as godlike power, divine nature, godlike nature. Okay, so it was directly referring to your nature. All right, so that's a key point. If you're going to call yourself divine, your nature must be on point. Okay? So we're going to move to the next sentence. Mother Jennifer, pardon me. Do you have anything to add to the word divine?
I just wanted to say, you know, that was very well done as far as breaking the word down and understanding what the word actually means. And a lot of times when we are listening to truth being taught to us, when we're listening to the shepherd, instead of allowing the offense to rule you, instead of allowing your emotion to rule over you, why don't you actually just go and check out the word? You know, pastor always says, check me out. You know, don't take my word for it. Check me out. But a lot of times people, you know, are so quick to become offended and not really even look behind the word at all. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. The next sentence says, you refer to us as only property. So she's making a statement that I'm sure she has pain tied to, that when she hears things that come from this ministry, it makes her feel as property, or she's heard us say property. So let me just explain, if I can, for the righteous. Let's use a marriage, for example, Mother Jennifer. A marriage, a union, is where two become one, right? And that, for example, I'm gonna try to let's focus on the word property, okay? Y'all stay with me for a second. So what would we mean by property? The father in our culture gives away his daughter, right? By his blessing or his allowance, okay? So he gives away his daughter. She would take on her husband's last name, okay, and she would depart, if I can say that. I'm saying depart from her family, but I'm just meaning as in a property standpoint, so she's no longer going to receive instructions, you know, that are going to usurp her husband. So now she has become his property. Remember, the head of every man is Christ, okay? The head of the woman is man. That's our culture. The head of Christ is Yahweh, right? We were created because of man's existence first. I don't think we got to, I think we all know that. The Messiah purchased us. Can we not say we're property? We're property of our owner. We were purchased by his blood, and we were purchased at the pain of his sacrifice, and at the only payment that could allow us to become clean or to receive the inheritance. So as property, I think it's very respectful for you to honor the hierarchy, the structure. It's a must needs be. There is no written kingdom that exists that will allow you to rule without your surrender and submission to him here and now. Mother Jennifer?
Sister Ashley, I remember years ago, and we did a show on property, you know, women being property, and it talked about the covering of a woman. And I remember out of nowhere, this woman created a blog about us and about our broadcast, and she was a feminist, and she claimed to be Hebrew, but she was a feminist. And it, I think it's interesting how when you bring up the subject of property and the fact that, you know, women don't belong to themselves, we don't belong to ourselves, but when you bring up the fact about property and how women are covered, then it seems like this feminist spirit just really starts to rage and starts to come out, because this is not the first time that we've heard this or that we've gotten this feedback or this response. So I say to the daughters of Zion who are really trying to live holy, really check your heart and see if there's anything in you that is offended by the fact that you belong to the Most High, that you, if you are a wife, you belong to your husband. I know for me personally, it fills my heart to know that I belong to someone. For so many years, you know, being out there on my own as a single woman, having to make decisions on my own, going through so much confusion, so much depression. But now my mind is no longer fragmented. My mind is whole. And it is all because of a man of Yah who came along and made me his property willingly. And, you know, I went willingly, but a man came along, made me his property, and has put the pieces back together that have been fragmented for so long. Sister Ashley?
Very good. The term master comes to my mind because Isaiah 1:3, Shefley, post it, Isaiah 1:3, the word master, right? If you're a property of our owner, then you would have a master. Isaiah 1:3 says, the ox knows his owner and the ass his master, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider, right? So we have a master. So it's not offensive to be property at all. And when you hear that statement, it's not promoting domestic violence to say that you're property. It's not promoting verbal abuse. It's not promoting neglect. That statement of you being property is not based on the man that hurt you. We're saying that statement is Yah's pure purpose from the created beginning, that you would be covered and cared for, that you would abide under his shadow, that you'd be protected by his covenant. Okay, so coming back to it, yes, it's painful, but you must understand the purity of that statement. No matter what avenue it's ministered or how it's said or how it's preached, not to be apologetic at all, because the dynamics of the Father is to stay on a topic, have his shepherd drill a topic, use a word. Maybe it's even on the show. I'm not sure just how the custom of the Father's Spirit works. He's going to say it until you deal with it. You know, you're going to hear it until you deal with it. And I know a lot of women that just aren't bothered by that, no matter what pain it might have took to understand it or get there. That's not in question. It's just, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Next sentence in the email says, if we are not queens, then how can the men refer to themselves as kings or priests of their homes? Now, this opens up a lot of thoughts for me. And I always try to, you know, be tender-eared to how we need to, which way we need to go, because you can talk so many different ways. You know, it's not really necessary that we explain a lot about why the man could be the king or the priest of the home. But I think if we go this route, Mother Jennifer, we just say, okay, our husbands, they are a priest by duty, okay? A priest by duty. You hear the term priest, it was simply a man with a duty, okay? If you could say a chief, You know, this man has a responsibility, and you are one of his responsibilities. If you say a man is a king, then for me, as even I said to you early in the show, there was no she-man that was going to teach me anything. I would not be at this ministry if it was loaded with faggots, if it was loaded with feminists, if it was some, you know, smooth-talking, go on down the list of adjectives. And the people that I know that are part of this ministry, they wouldn't be either. You know, we're just different. So go back to the king of the home, is kingly by nature. You're a priest by duty. You're a king by nature. You remember that, okay? Just as I brought up nature earlier, I'm going to bring it up again as a queen. If you were a queen in our royal priesthood, you would have a role responsibility. And remember, even the queen would have to bow to the king, okay? In this email, obviously, that sort of spirit is mad that the man is the king. So you're already lacking the nature. So the queen, if you consider, where in the Bible is the example of a meek and quiet queen? Well, you have Queen Esther. That's it. You know, queen was used a few different times. You got the Queen of Heaven talked about. You got the Queen of Sheba talked about. You got Queen Esther. It's not there often. So I understand it could be a term of endearment now in 2021, but a queen typically throughout all these generations in the English language was a term used for rule. Okay, so this woman was going to rule. She was given to a man or married into a royal bloodline or born into a royal bloodline, right? That's it. So often because of that family's reputation, she continued that line. So it was never for her skill in war or her hours on the battlefield, etc. So if you're going to say you're a queen, then I want to know why. Just like you would say to me in the email, you know, why don't I refer to you as a queen? You know, Tammy, come here. So I don't got to know the background. It's just a Tammy story, but she is now, are you provided for?
Yes.
You feel protected?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You're a tender branch. You're a meek and quiet woman, and I admire you. I'm glad to have you. This is my little sister here. Tell me about the small conversation you had with your biological mother when you found the truth.
When I found the truth, I was very excited, and I remember I was telling her, I was like, Mom, we're not the Gentiles like they taught us. We are the people of the book. We are the Hebrews. We are the Israelites. And she responded back to me. She was like, I know I'm a queen.
All right, y'all got that right. Thank you, Sister Tammy. So this woman, living in the world, living in the city. Were you in the city?
Yes.
She said yes. With no humble beginnings, agricultural experience, no submission or surrender. Did you have a father in your home?
No, ma'am.
No father in her home at all. I know I'm a queen. Okay? And Tammy even clicked her lips and sassed her head because I know you couldn't see it. You might not have heard it. But that's that spirit. I know I'm a queen, okay? So I'm saying you're not a queen. And maybe that hurts somebody. For the majority of my friends and my sisters, they're not bothered by it. But I'm saying you're not a queen. You have no right to enter into the kingdom without the bloodline of Jesus or the blood of the Holy Messiah. And Mother Jennifer, the woman that you love and you refer often to in the scriptures, the woman that washed Jesus' feet, did she call herself a queen? Was that really her nature? You know, we have a high priest. Please, go ahead.
I wanted to say, Sister Ashley, she truly was a servant. You know, she was there to actually serve. And the term servant has become obsolete in today's world. Everybody wants to be referred to as a queen in this world. I went shopping the other day just looking for some shirts for our daughter, and I was looking at the shirts, and I looked at Sister Chandra, and I held the shirt up, and it had a picture of a melanated woman on the front of the shirt, you know, and she had jewelry on. She had her head covered, and it said queen in really big letters. And I said, isn't that a shame? I said, why can't they just have you know, shirts without words. Like, why does everything have to be queen? And it's almost like the term servant is just beneath everyone, and it creates such a sense of entitlement. When you walk around thinking that you're a queen, you believe that you're entitled to something that, you know, that no one else is entitled to. You believe that everyone else is beneath you. You believe that you should be served instead of serving. And it really is just such a dangerous mindset that's out there with the term queen. And even if you don't refer to yourself as queen, you can still have the attitude or the mindset. You can have the behavior that certain jobs are beneath you, certain things are beneath you, and you require everyone else to do the medial tasks while you sit and just watch them. Sister Ashley?
I can imagine how this queen mindset would feel when it came to a Passover service and had to bow its knee and wash somebody's feet, right? I mean, what's your heart when you hit your knees to wash somebody's feet? You want to touch them? You know what I mean? You got that queen mind? I know that as a black woman, I don't know personally, I don't mean that by any means. Some people don't know that I am what the world would call Caucasian. I support black women with my heart, all my heart, but I support those who are in the covenant of Yah, because those are the women that deserve great honor and respect, especially after you have turned back to the Father that you or your people once denied. And much strength and honor to that. You know, so you can finally, in this way, you can finally get the security and get the strength and get the stability. You know, if you want to say get the power, you know, you want to cast out spirits, get power on your head, cover your head. You get power given to you by the angels. You know, you want to be great. So maybe it's a term of endearment. Maybe it's just an abstract term that means, Chef, come here. Maybe, you know, if I say a couple of street terms from homegirl to queen to whatever you may have heard out there in general, not throwing no salt on the name, what would it mean if you just heard somebody say, oh, you're a queen, you know?
So with my background and upbringing, to hear somebody say, oh, you're a queen, or, you know, you're a black queen, whatever, it would mean it's more of a uplifting thing. It's more of, sis, you ain't got to be a hoe anymore. You don't have to be out here smoking crack. You don't have to belittle yourself. You don't have to make yourself less than what you really are in that regard, if I heard somebody say that.
Very good. Thank you. Well said, and that's perfect. You know, I want to be very balanced, you know, especially because words come from the intention of your heart. So you see how you can take that word. And, you know, Sister Tammy's mom, right, that perpetuates the curses of her fathers can say, I know I'm a queen. And then Chef can bring the balance, you know, that it is to bring a woman from a low estate and to bring her up. But you can't do that by denying the blood or the power or the man. You can't skip that. You know, thinking about the title of queen, how could you be a queen if you couldn't rule your tongue or your flesh? The Father said unto the woman, I will greatly multiply her sorrow. Do we not, women, do we not walk in this? Is your sorrow not multiplied far beyond even the man's? Says your husband will rule over you. Right? So even if it's denied mentally, it's still, without objective, it is the structure. And Yah said even to the serpent, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman. And when Yah's talking to the serpent that beguiled Eve, I'm going to put hatred and hostility between you and the woman. Do we not war against the serpent, even in a much more intricate, delicate, almost hard to find out way than the man do? Are we not warring against this evil serpent continually? It says between your seed, serpent, which is to say, I'm going to put enmity between her seed, your seed. All right, so the serpent got a seed, you got a seed. I'm going to put y'all against each other. It's going to bruise you, right? This will bruise you, woman. This will strike you, woman. This will crush you, woman. And it's going to bruise your path, serpent. You're not going to be successful either, right? This is the perpetual. So how does the title queen, how is it now? And if we have a high priest that sits at the right hand of the throne, and we do, the Messiah, who offered his blood for himself even, and the errors of all of us as a people, then when did the Messiah call a woman a queen, you know? Or even interwoven into the languages, he never said that. You can't find it in his conversation, you know, that a woman was of divine nature. And there's a lot of, I hope we get into in just a moment, the we are gods and we are godlike, you know? My sister even types tonight, thanks for the clarity that's been on my mind. Now I know my thoughts were correct. It didn't sit right with me. No, it doesn't sit right. Most Israelites in the faith, most women in the faith, they know better. But I know right now the Father's drawing women out of IUIC and GOCC and all those, you know, they dress like they are. So Revelation 18 speaks about Babylon being a queen. I mean, go dig it through the scriptures. Go dig. I intrigue you, you know. But it says, Babylon said, I sit like a queen and I shall see no sorrow. Okay, well, I don't think there's a woman at the sound of my voice that hasn't seen sorrow. Right? We forget how fleshly we are when we puff ourselves up with these terms. And his mercy is so great, and so is his correction, that he will judge you according to your works. And no heart can think upon these things worthily. The things that are even written in the word, no one can read the book of life but the Messiah himself. No one could open it. How could you be so worthy? Who is even able to understand all his ways? And one of the verses I love in Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha says that there's a shame that brings sin, but there's also a shame which has glory and grace. Okay, so let me read it again. There's a shame that brings sin, which is what we refer to here tonight, queenly. And then there's a shame that we have as shamefaced women that brings glory and grace. Okay, so you can't get glory and grace walking in the shame of sin. You can't. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, anything to add?
Yes, Sister Ashley, I wanted to, talk about how the Messiah dealt with the woman of Canaan when he called her a dog or referred to her as a dog. And you know, he didn't say, you know, you're a queen. He didn't call her a queen. He called her a dog. But look at her response to that. You know, her response was very, very humble. But if you have a woman, just like, you know, Tammy talked about with her biological mother, a woman saying, I know I'm a queen, and having this entitlement, prideful attitude. Even Mother Carol said women have high opinion of themselves, you know, a high opinion of their value, but really they don't even understand, and you can tell in their speech. But when you look at this woman of Canaan, when Jesus referred to her as a dog, she humbled herself before him. And after she humbled herself, you know, his response was, great is thy faith, and he granted her request. So it really is all about your humility and your response. And I also wanted to add that when, you know, we're looking at this letter, and you can tell there's a lot of pain in this letter. You can tell that this woman apparently has some unresolved painful issues that have not been dealt with. And if you have offenses or you have unresolved pain, there's going to be offenses that are going to come from that. If you've been abused or if you've been hurt, but you haven't resolved that pain, you haven't received deliverance, you don't understand or know what deliverance is, and you continue on in life as if nothing's ever happened and you're just putting Band-Aids on things, then you end up making those who are trying to actually help you, you end up making them pay the price for the pain that you experienced long ago that is actually unresolved. So I wanted to bring that up because you can tell that there's a lot of pain in this letter, and that's where these offenses are actually coming from. Sister Ashley.
Yes, ma'am. Well said. Thank you. So we'll go to the next sentence in this email. She has typed that all life came through the first woman, Hawa. Pause right there. So all life came through the first woman, Hawa. You skip the creator. You skip that he created a man first and that you came from him. And then you speak of the life that comes from your womb, right? You received the name Hawa, not personally, but the woman received the name Hawa, translated Chava, Kava, Hawa, or Eve. You received that name by your husband. Your husband gave it to you. Adam, Adam, right? And Mother Jennifer, you have something to add? Go ahead.
No, I'm listening. Sorry, there must have been some background noise. Please continue.
All right, thank you. Yes, I'll build. Please interject anytime. So you have this name Eve, which actually means the mother of all living, or the mother of those living, as in like life giver, the very first woman. Okay, and there's quite a few doctrinal female dominated opinions of Eve or her name, or her life-giving ability, or the matrix and the womb. And, you know, I agree that the ability to conceive and bring forth children is miraculous. It's amazing. It's a wonderful experience. I agree that mothers are huge examples given the stewardship of another soul or many souls. And the men of the ministry also really admire that, because they know that is something that they can't do without you. But that's not the humility that you're speaking from. So after the permanent curse of man and the permanent curse of the serpent and the permanent curse of the woman, then Adam names you life giver, because now you'll bring forth life to the earth that, guess what, is going to constantly be at war and enmity between the serpent. So you were beguiled. Never forget that. Romans 5 says, by one man, sin entered into the world. Death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. But in Ecclesiasticus it says, of the woman came the beginning of sin. And through her we all die. Okay, so you want to get a balance in your studies when you're trying to formulate the strength and the power of a woman versus a man, et cetera. Mother Jennifer?
And I wanted to say that, highlight the fact that the strength of the woman comes through her weakness. And by that I mean she understands that her strength lies in the Most High Yah. Her strength lies in her husband, the fact that she knows that she needs to be taught by her husband. She needs to be taught by a man. She's not one who can just go on her own. So her strength lies in her humility. It lies in her weakness. And it lies in the ability to actually recognize and understand that weakness. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. The next sentence that she wrote says, we have, she's given examples, okay, so she's kind of coming off the original sentence. It says, all life came through the first woman, Hawa. Remember I said that she skipped the creator. He created man first, and he also formed man first, okay? So don't skip that in your belief. It says we have Mother Nature. This is her other thought. We have Mother Nature, and we have Mother Earth, okay? And both of those worships or statements, you're denying the Father. I have the phrase, the black woman is God. Okay, this was shared to me. This phrase, the black woman is God. Okay, we're still hinging off of Mother Nature. We're still hinging off of Mother Earth. Okay, so you can still say black queen, God is a black woman, exalt the mother, et cetera. Either way, by those Mother Natures and Mother Earth, you're denying the Father. Okay? Now, the phrase, the black woman is God, according to this, says, it comes from the knowledge of the original worship of Mother God and not Father God. Okay, so the phrase, the black woman is God, comes from the original worship of Mother God and not Father God. Father God, according to the statement, came from European male chauvinist religions that were used to divide and conquer the continent into slavery. Again, the Father God, European male chauvinist religion, was used to divide and conquer the continent into slavery. You see how Satan's twisting this? You're denying the Father, blaming it on the Europeans that hurt you or hurt your people, calling them male chauvinists, taking away the Father from you and giving you a Mother God, blaming the Europeans for dividing and conquering the continent that you now live on into slavery, when it was your Father God who sent you into captivity. Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley reminds me of the Willie Lynch letter. You know, thinking of just the fruit of that letter and the practices that went forward to really take away the power of the man from the home, to ruin the patriarchy, and for women to actually be exalted above the man, you know, to make the woman feel unsafe and to not look to the man for protection. And it reminds me of that, really removing the power of Yah in the eyes of a woman and not really having the reverence and the understanding of Yah the Father. Sister Ashley.
Come here, Chef. What do they call the black woman in the Willie Lynch letter, Chef?
The wench.
One more time.
Wench.
All right. What would that mean? Is that derogatory?
Yes.
Of course. Is that offensive?
Yes.
Of course. If you were to hear it, even today, someone call you that, what would that send through you?
Nothing now.
Nothing
back
now?
In the day, it might have been a little altercation going on.
Hallelujah. So we got some cleanness out of you. We got some freedom, right? Because you're telling me that statement, you understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you have anything else to add?
No. What Mother Jennifer is saying is very accurate. The Willie Lynch letter is literally in play. If you really open your eyes, the desecration of the masculine man in the home, the society, taking out the strongest one, beating them, ripping them, having two horses run opposite directions, cooking the children, just making the man weak and allowing the woman to look to the oppressor as her man, as opposed to whom should have been over in the first place, which was her man.
Very good. Allowing her to see that, wow, I wish you could say that again, but the oppressor was the man. Making her feel like the oppressor was
the man,
dividing it. That's very good. Yes, very, very good. So we've even gone as far, not we straightway, but now Satan has gone as far as to divide that so much that we can say Mother Earth, Mother Nature, Jesus help us. Her sentence says, the man plants a seed in the womb of a woman to bring forth life. You are absolutely correct. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, and it was intended to be a beautiful and pure thing. Satan has perverted that in so many thousands of ways. I want to play a clip. This clip comes from a YouTube channel that we don't follow. It is called The Fallen State. This was a clip from our shepherd. It is titled, We're Ending This Right Now, a pastor storms off in an interview, all right? It is approximately 1 minute, okay? That's about all we could stomach of this weak man, okay? Let's hear what he has to say. Let me make sure my volume is set correctly. Some videos are louder, y'all know that, or quieter. We're ending this right now. Pastor storms off in his interview. Let's see what he says. Let's see how far Satan can go here. Yep, it's paused. Hold on just a second. Don't know what happened. I'm going to go back.
The God would call. Okay. Why do you think that God would call a person, a homosexual, to be a pastor but not change him?
So I don't think that God majors where we minor. And so I think that what happens is I think that we put limitations on God that God doesn't have. For example, we could, and if you go to seminary or something like that, you find out that there's a thought process that God could possibly be a woman, or that God could be this, or that God could be that, that God can be whatever it is that you need him to be.
You believe that he can be a woman?
I believe that God can be whatever it is that you need him to be.
So can he be a homosexual too if you need him to be one?
Well, honestly, I don't think that God, the Bible says that God is neither male nor female.
All right, so that's enough of that discussed. The Bible says that, yeah, is neither male nor female. That's a powerful point that the enemy makes. It's a very antichrist doctrine, because you're taking the word and you're twisting it for Yah is a spirit, right? He chose a man, created him first, he said, let's make him in my image, in our image. Right, let's make him in my image. And then gives us a Messiah as a man, as a king and a high priest. Hallelujah. It's the Antichrist spirit.
Mr. Ashley, can I just say something about the clip that we just listened to?
Always.
I wanted to say that when you listen to the speech of that clip, the speech is so abstract. You know, he's not giving any definite answers. He's not giving any scripture. He's using a bunch of words that he may think actually sounds fancy. Things like, you know, God doesn't major where we minor, or, you know, things like that. It's wordplay. And so we actually did a school exercise last week, and we were talking about abstract and concrete speech, and we're trying to teach our children how to listen for abstract speech, because if you hear speech that is abstract and is not answering questions and you're not getting any understanding, that is where confusion comes from. So it's very important to be able to detect and to pick up on concrete speech or abstract speech right away when you hear it, because you know there's confusion coming. If you're having a conversation with somebody, get to the point of asking concrete questions so that you can get that concrete answer. So I know this is kind of out of the way, but I just wanted to point that out to everybody. Sister Ashley.
Very good. It's not out of the way, actually, because that's one of the learning mechanisms of this ministry. You do start to sort between the real and the fantasy, the perceived, the real, the concrete, the abstract. You start to sort through all that. So I think it's very well said and very timely. Let's go back to, you know what, why don't I agree that we're gods? You know, why don't we say that, support that? Why don't we say that? You can find all sorts of reasons why someone might say we are. Or say you are, because of the color of your skin, because of your mother's womb, your brain, your nervous system, your embryonic cells, right? Your nervous system that's loaded with melanin, right? And so they might also go into how smart you can be, intellectual you can be, how goal-driven you can be. They can really begin to exalt the flesh. They can explain it any kind of way, from what you're connected to what you're created from, to how you're at one with the universe. You know, there's just so many soft words or powerful words and statements that can be made to trigger you, to make you to exalt yourself above what you are. Once again, just in balance, when I brought in Chef, what did Queen mean? And she said, oh, it just simply means, you know, you ain't got to be a hoe no more, you know. So I understand the word or the term God. We are gods. You are gods. Maybe there's a pure intent behind someone's heart for saying that. But I'm going to tell you, we're going to talk about it for just a second, Mother Jennifer, why we don't say it, why we don't think it. And one main reason is, do you not repent? Because if the Father says, I'm not a man that I shall lie nor repent, do you not have to? Right? And the answer, of course, is yes. But do you have to renounce hidden things of dishonesty? Are you not shown by a greater source the hidden works of dishonesty? Do you have torments and fears? How about disease? Let's see how godlike you are when you got stopped by the police. Lose all your money, stub your toe. Be reminded of Earth when you jam your toe on the chair. You know, let's be silly for a second, Mother Jennifer. It's really ridiculous. It's not. Baruch said, how then cannot men perceive that they be not gods, which can neither save themselves from war or save themselves from a plague? You can't deliver you. You can't even deliver your wife from a man's hand if she was being taken from you. Not without the Creator, a powerful force behind you, you know. And it's not, it is common, Mother Jennifer, for other nations to interpret our God as their God. You know, this is all throughout history. In Acts 14, Paul was speaking to a man that was born crippled, and he had never stood up. Okay, so imagine this man, he's crippled, he had never stood up before. And Paul walks over and he tells him to get on your feet. Can you imagine? Who knows how old he is? Let's just say he was 35. Get up on your feet. Right? It takes some faith to say it, and it sure took some faith for this man to get up on his feet. And the people were amazed, and all the people that saw it, they lifted up their voice. You know what they said? The gods have come down to us, the gods. Or when Nebuchadnezzar, he was talking to Daniel. He's like, dang, all the wise men in my kingdom, none of them can interpret my dream like you did. And you just did it by the spirit of the holy gods. You know, so you're taking, Nebuchadnezzar is taking his gods, his plethora, his idea of who he's always worshipped, he's putting it off on Daniel. Right? So it's not a new thing. Our God is one. He's the Creator, the All-Knowing, the Almighty. We know this. Those who follow closely, we know this. But maybe some of you just don't quite understand how the other idolatry has woven itself into your mind. Mother Jennifer.
You know, I wanted to say that term, we are gods. When you walk around with that term in your heart, what it does is it negates the blood of Jesus. It takes away, and it waters down the sacrifice that was made by our Messiah. And I know that when I cried out to the Most High Yah for truth, I remember saying, Father, if you show me your truth, I will follow it. So he showed it to me. It wasn't Mother Nature. It wasn't the universe. It was Yah was the one that showed me the truth and gave me the ears to hear the truth. And he brought me into the presence of a man of Yah that actually gave me that truth. Sister Ashley?
Beautiful. Think about the word Antichrist. And the word says, in the last time, as you have heard, Antichrist will come. Even now, there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last days. John said, who is a liar but him that denies Jesus is the Christ? All right, I'm going to say something about Antichrist in a minute, but I'm just giving you verses about Antichrist that come to my heart. So he is the Antichrist who is a liar and denies that Jesus is the Christ. He's an Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. All right, so how many times Mother Earth, you deny the Father. You know, Mother Nature, you deny the Father. right? A husband's not going to rule over me. You deny the father. You deny the priesthood but want to be queen. Can't bow to the king but call yourself queen, right? Call yourself queen, can't rule your tongue. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist. And we heard that it would come, and right now it's in the world. Yes, it is. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's amping up so tight. It's going to be hard for the Father, challenging, but nothing's beyond him to even get the minds of his people to believe in his simplicity. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And this is a deceiver and an antichrist. So then they'll throw away the entire new covenant so you don't read it, throw away the gospels or Jesus so you don't read it. But here's the key. You want to know what's antichrist, and Mother just said it without even knowing. It is when you deny the blood. See, we can run around Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And we can run around, we are Israel. Or we can say, Christ, Christ, Christ. But if you deny his blood, you deny his bloodline, you deny his ownership, you deny your submission, you deny repentance, deny getting clean, deny changing, all those things, that's antichrist. To believe yourself to be a strength, you know, a godliness, a godlike, a majesty, a divinity because of a vagina. And all you got to do is get waterboarded. You know, and you lose your mind. Like, my, how far we've fallen. That we could exalt ourselves so much. But he's faithful. He'll get us where we need to be. So, antichrist, that's how you determine what is antichrist. Why is Christianity antichrist? Because they deny the blood. What do you mean? They celebrate, they drink the, what do they do? I don't even know what they do. They do all kinds of things. But how do they deny? That's what I'm trying to get to. How does Christians deny the blood? Because they don't repent. You don't plead the blood over your life or renounce hidden works of dishonesty, iniquity, ancestral sins, break generational curses, cast out devils. It's antichrist. You come into smooth talk, add doctrine, come under the guile of giving, sharing, you know, family traditions. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, anything to say about Christianity or on to the email?
I think you said it all, Sister Ashley. We can go back to the email.
Hallelujah. Thank you all for bearing with us tonight. We have to say this. We have to deal with this. This is out there. It's coming up too much. Okay, so 9 months a child is held, the email says, 9 months a child is held, carried and developed in a woman's womb. Only a woman can provide. Stop right there for a second. Okay, 9 months a child is held, carried and developed in a woman's womb. You believe that you have something to do with that, but you actually don't. Dare you be so presumptuous that you would carry all the way to 9 months, that you would carry a living child, that you would even get pregnant when no barren woman can even give herself seed? Right? We're very presumptuous. So those 9 months that child is held to us Israelites in the palm of our father's hand. Only a woman can provide food from her breast alone for a child. Yes, a beautiful dynamic of the human body that was created in its pureness to support that child and that child's development. That's a beautiful thing by, guess what, our Father, God, not your Mother Earth, not your Mother Nature. If a man gets total custody of his children, he will need a woman to help take care of them, okay? But women have single-handedly reared children without any man. You know, it'd be great. I don't have any, Mother Jennifer, but it would be great if I had the testimonies of the men in this ministry that could raise their hand and say, I didn't have a father. Because there's 14.84 million families in the United States of America. I'm going to say it one more time. 14.84 million families in America without a man, without a father, without a male or a male spouse. They are 14.84 million female householders. Google says 19.5 million children without a father. So before you make a statement so powerful as women have single-handedly reared children without any man, what have they really done? What do you call rearing? Perpetuating a curse? Honestly? So what percentage of skin color or title, what percentage of race, America would say race, is single family mother or female householders. You ready? 75% of African American homes. Out of that number I just gave you, 14.84 million families, 75% of that's African American. How's that for your women single-handedly rear children? 59% of that number is Hispanic and only 38% white. She says, with no government assistance for some. Is that a badge? Is that your crown? Is that why you can say, I'm a queen? When your life proves how dependent you are on the very thing you don't have, which is order, rule, lead, help, you know? Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, there are, like you just gave the numbers about houses or homes that are absent of fathers. And, you know, there are a lot of cases that we actually hear about as the children get older. They find out that the mother was the one that actually kept them from the presence of their father, or the reasons that the father was not present was because the mother would not allow it, and she had the backing of the government. So a lot of times you don't hear the full story in these cases. You really don't. And there are a lot of times where the women are actually behind the fact that the men are not present. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I have a divorce statistic. 50% of first-time marriages fail. 67% of second-time marriages fail. 74% of third marriages end, all of them in divorce. And what's the most commonly reported United States major contributor to divorce? The lack of commitment by infidelity. Sexual sin, the father would call it, if it's permitted by the woman. And also by conflict and arguing. So the most common final straw and the majorly reported contributing factors to a divorce is infidelity. You also have domestic violence, it's very high up there, and then substance use that separates homes. So most participants blame their partners rather than blaming themselves. That's a given. That's, you can find that on Mr. Google. And it's innumerable how many circumstances and situations that Elder Becker takes or pastor takes, being a representator of the truth, you know, judges of the truth, being able to take these calls, take these circumstances, and give them life behind the scenes, hours upon hours. It's a blessing to be a part of. And so when pastor makes the statements that he's coming from, I believe it's even in, I wonder if I got it right here. No. On the video that I played earlier where him and his, Ishai was talking, Mother Carol was talking, on his channel he had posted at the bottom, I'm a pastor and I know these words to be true. So he's really coming from experience when he speaks, and your experience is what you're coming from. And then your experience is also what is very defensive against his experience, but you can't trump his experience. For the Father, our Creator, has placed him in a role to be a leader and a shepherd for many, many, many people, and he's just not going to lead us wrong. He's just not. All right, it says, Yah says we are a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. Yes, he does. My sisters, we only have two more lines of the email. Thanks for bearing with us. I hope it's been helpful. We are a chosen generation. That's coming from 1 Peter 2. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We got a song for it. That means you're particular, but you know what it also means? You're purchased. The only way you can be chosen is because you're purchased. You can't be chosen if you weren't purchased. That wouldn't make any sense. I'm going to choose you, but I'm going to sit you to the side. I'm going to purchase all these with my blood, but you're good. Do what you want. Believe what you want. All right? So you're not coming in the door. You're not using the blood. And the blood is the Passover event. If he sees his blood, he'll pass over you. Call him at his word. Come without it. come without and see how long you stick around. So it means if you're a chosen generation and you're a royal priesthood, then you have become this people. You become this people. So if you have become a chosen generation, if you become a royal priesthood, then you would speak of the wonderful acts of the one who has called you out of darkness and into his amazing light. You wouldn't speak of yourself. You wouldn't exalt yourself. And don't let the reverence that we have, even as women here, not just on the show, but just in general, we have the reverence we have for our husbands, the reverence we have for our leaders, our elders, our shepherds, don't let that reverence be a stumbling block for you. Because any man could fall. We are following these men with our whole heart because of the Messiah's blood, and because we are chosen. We have been given the ears and the hearts and the minds by our Creator alone, and he is deserving of our praise. Okay, so it's not, you know, all about shepherd, all about pastor, all about Elder Rufus, all about ooh, woo, 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 Daniel Lansden, woo, woo, woo. No, we love these men and would die for these men because he first died for us. These are the men that are out front, that are leading us, that we support, you know. And by the Messiah's blood and his love and his death for us, we're able to have it one for another. We're able to submit our lives and our words, you know, to these, to the body, to these brothers, to them, to everybody. You know, it's the way I can say I love you and mean it. Mother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, is really good that you brought out how the focus really needs to be on Yah. When you quote it, you know, that, yes, we are a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're a peculiar people. And this mindset that we're talking about tonight, when you look at that, people tend to stop there. They look at who they are, but they don't look at the fact of who Yah is and the fact that they exist and they are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people because of him. And, you know, you can't just take some of the word and then throw the rest away. And it does say that you should show forth the praises of him that's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And it just lines up with, you know, the word when it says to seek ye first the kingdom of Yah and his righteousness. And a lot of times in this particular mindset, Yah is not being sought first at all. It's all about, you know, the one who says that they are the queen. It's all about that. But Yah gets left out of the equation. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. If you read, ye are a chosen generation, it's verse 9, 1 Peter 2, 9. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. Okay, pause for a second because that priesthood hung her up when she said, you know, how can you call the men and refer them to kings and priests and not refer to us as queens? And you can only find two times in the entirety of the word that the wife of a priest is even mentioned. And you know what it says? It's in the Old Covenant. Both times it's written that the children of the priest took a wife. And you know what else it says? That wife was called after their name. That's all it referred to. The priest's wife was called after their name. The children of the priest's wife called after their name. That's all you're going to read. So you boast of wanting to hear yourself referred to as a queen, but you're not even written about. All right, I'm going to take this call in just a moment. Let me see. Oh, let me finish my first Peter. I got one call I'm expecting from Goshen. Hallelujah. Bless all y'all sisters up there. Bless my Chris, my baby. All right. First 10 in First Peter 2 says, which in time past we were not a people, but are now the people of Yah. Okay, so in times past you were nothing. So that's interesting because, you know, no money, no job, no man. Whatever your circumstance was, you wasn't nothing. But now you're the people of the Most High. And I support the confidence that you now can get for the first time in your life. I support that, especially for my melanated sisters. It does my heart good to see the strength and the power and the anointing that a woman can walk in, and guess how it's manifested? In her meekness, right? So it's not in her crown and her godlike terminology. It says, before we had not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. And if you even think about that, how godlike can you be if you had not obtained mercy? Right? Can't deliver ourselves from the fire. Had to send another man, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Put that fourth man in there. You can't get your ass about these flames. Try to deliver yourself right now. First one that can deliver themselves even from their own mental torment and emotional control. Please, call into the show. A lot. Press one. Right? I mean, this is serious stuff. But here's the point I'm trying to make. It says in verse 11, after talking about this royal priesthood that you're a part of, hallelujah, that you should abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest, even amongst the Gentiles, whereas they speak against you as an evildoer, that they might by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify the Most High in the day of his visitation. Should we speak as the Gentiles speak? Should I say I'm a god? Should I say I'm a queen? If the Gentiles do, that you would have your conversation so honest that wherein they speak even against you, you wouldn't have any. Your conversation would be so honest. It would be upright. We are to have holy conversation one to another, right? You would keep yourself in such a manner that they couldn't find any similarity, you know, to the old thing. We're going to the phone call. Pulling up my sister Alex, area code 202. Help me out, Chef. Is it up? All right, Sister Alex, you're live. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes. Long time from hearing your voice live on the show. Alex is a dear friend of mine. Bless you. Hallelujah. Talk to us. What's on your heart?
Bless you. When I was sitting here listening to the woman, I guess you would say gloating about, like, mothers being able to do it on their own, I just had to call in because if a woman is, like, truly honest with herself, there is, like, a burning. And I'm only speaking for women who, like, still kind of have access to whatever man isn't, like, in the life, not just ones who completely cannot find the man. I'm just talking about ones that have access to this man and act like they don't need him. There, you have to have a very strong form of denial to deny the deep yearning and burning for a man's presence in your child's life, especially if it's a boy. Like, I can't even, like, I really, the mind state of this email, you can just tell it's some type of reprobateness, because there's, like, literally, if you ask every single mom who genuinely is trying to have both parents, you know, cordially or whatever the case, that's like the number one desire is that the man would be in the child's life. There's nothing to gloat about being able to pay. A lot of people have a lot of money. Lots of people can pay for lots of things for the child, but it does not take, you know, it doesn't replace the actual raising and the pouring in. And I'm going to use myself as an example. I have a son. I raised him, you know, fairly well considering what I had at the time and the knowledge that I had. But just from the time I came into the ministry and the advice that I got from Pastor Dowell, from other mothers, from especially Mother Nellie, you know, there was a change in my son. It was little because there was, you know, the damage was already done because of, you know, single momhood. But you could see the difference in him just from the 2 little years that he stuck it out with me. And even now, he's doing very well. He's not necessarily in the faith, but, like, to be able to see the difference from the time I sat down in the dining hall in front of Pastor Dowell and asked him what to do with my son, I had one man tell me a few words and everything changed about the boy. So I'm just over here in shock that there's even the audacity to have any type of pride or gloating about being able to pay for a child by yourself. There's nothing glorious about that life. There never will be. There never ever. You can give me $10 million and I still won't want to raise a child, especially a boy, by myself. And that's really just all I had to say. Like, I'm just really in shock at the boldness of this pride. This is like I don't even know what other word to summarize it, but it's like absolutely ludicrous and ridiculous. And that's all I had to say.
Hallelujah. We love you, Alex. Thanks for keeping it 100. And, hey, you're just a woman who loves this son. That's all. When you can say, I just want to do my role, and I need a man to teach him and guide him. I need that. So you just love him. You would move yourself out of the way. Hallelujah. And surrender yourself to the Most High's order. Hallelujah. Bless you, Goshen. Bless everybody. Love y'all. Shalom.
Shalom.
All right. Lots of good feedback in the chat room. This has maybe affected more of your dialogues and conversations out there in the world than I even knew. I mean, I'm set apart. I'm in the country. I don't know what's going on out there. I really, really don't. So she says and ends the email, Mother Jennifer, this would be all who keeps his laws and commandments. And she's referring to we are all a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. This would be all who keeps his laws and his commandments. Again, all life comes through women only. First Esdras in the Apocrypha 4:34, O ye men, are not women strong? That's a man-to-man talk, right? He's saying, aren't women strong? Yes. And he goes into this big explanation of how they are strong. And the strength that he explains is by their ability to manipulate and dominate and to get their way by conniving. So it's that strength that he explains. But he ends it by saying, greater is the truth and stronger than all things, for all the earth cries out for the truth. The heavens bless the truth. All his works shake and tremble at it. And with it, with the truth, is no unrighteous thing. Wine is wicked. The king is wicked. Women are wicked. This is the word, First Ezra. Wine is wicked, the king is wicked, women are wicked, children of men are wicked, there is no truth in them. So we're just not the ministry that promotes chauvinism, no matter how you hear, that promotes men are superior in their fleshly value. You're not going to hear that. Hallelujah. And she ends it with the daughter of Hawa. Hallelujah. Indeed you are. So if you are the daughter of Eve, as myself, they were continuing the permanent curse placed upon us, waiting for our expected king. Hallelujah. All right. So what else? Mother Jennifer, any last thoughts? If y'all have some questions, type in the chat really quick. Let's wrap this thing up. If you have questions or statements, anything that you have been exposed to that might benefit, type it in. Type it in. Anything out there, Mother Jennifer?
I wanted to say that I'm excited about the response from the righteous. You know, I'm looking in the chat room and listening to the women that are here that are actually listening, and I'm listening to, you know, the response of Sister Alex, who just called in. And I'm so happy that the women in this ministry, that their minds are just renewed, because they know that this mindset is so very foreign. So it's an honor and it's a privilege to know women of you all's caliber and mindset. It really is an honor for me to know that. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I think this is a good show to head off into Passover for, not because everyone's guilty of calling themselves queen, not because anyone who is, you know, so-called black and melanated skin may call themselves divine or fine, not necessarily guilty of those things, maybe at one time, maybe not, but just because we need that honor and reverence for the blood. The blood, you know, we need to understand it. It's not talked about often. It's very denied in our culture and around us. It's going to be mocked and ridiculed. You're not going to be able to mention it in conversation and it make any sense. It's going to sound completely, 50 years ago, the blood mattered and there were many songs written about it. How many songs do you hear that even are produced from the Christian worship realm that talks about the blood? You know, maybe they're there. I'm just making that statement to bring out a point. It is the blood that we shall never forget. and it is the blood that is the reason why we know each other. It's the reason why we were even led to our pastor, that we may all be called to repent, because we are sons and daughters of Yah, and he chastens those who he loves. All right, we got, let's see. A woman says, the letter was a very definition of the mindset of women today. My mother encourages daily for my sister to keep her young son from his dad, yet she shuns me for submitting to my husband for almost 20 years. This is very, very sad. I separated from the mess in the most horrible way of thinking years ago. This is a great chat. Love when I can catch the show live. Thank you for listening, Faith Academy. Bless you. Bless your ears. Bless the Most High Yah that you have those ears. Thank you, Dorothy, Sister Wenda, Aya, Sister Carrie, all in Australia. Got one more phone call. Area code 567. Let's bring it live. I got it, Chef. Thank you. 567, you are live.
Shalom, shalom. This is Sister Lucretia from Straightway, Ohio. I have just started fellowshipping. I first wanted to say hallelujah to the sister that just called in. I, too, am raising a male child, and there's no way that I would trade having my only desire is to be able to have, you know, for my household a fleshly covering to give my son get all of us order, you know, and to truly be walking in the way that the Father designed us to walk in. So hallelujah to you, sister. That her comment was greatly needed. But also, I wanted to call in as well to give glory to the Father. I am a part of Straightway Columbus, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I just really wanted to give Yahweh the glory that he deserves.
Hallelujah. You know what we got to do.
Hallelujah.
We rejoice with you. Hit it. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. I bless the Father that he's still giving his spirit. He still hasn't withdrawn it. Hallelujah. He's still having mercy on us, my sister. Welcome to Ohio Assembly. Welcome to Straightway. Will we see you at the feast?
Yes, yeah. I'm so happy. I've been praying for so long, sister, and I am so proud to be able to say I will be there to praise the Most High with my brothers and sisters. Thank you so much, Father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you for sealing you with evidence of speaking in tongues. You need it if you're listening. You need it. How can you say you don't if you don't have it? Hallelujah. How can you even speak from experience? Lucretia, bless you. Welcome to Straight With Truth Ministries. Dig your heels in. Buckle up.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. Have a great night. Thanks for your call. Let's go to the next one, area code 908. 908, you're live. 908. Can you hear me?
Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Shalom. Welcome. Who are we speaking to?
Bless you, Mother Jennifer and Sister Ashley. This is Sister Joy. Bless y'all.
Bless you, Sister
Bless
Joy.
You.
Mother Jennifer, I can't see you. Take it away. Talk to her.
Bless you, Sister Joy. It's really good to hear your voice. We don't hear from you enough, but I'm happy you called in tonight. What would you like to share?
Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. I kind of keep it low-key purposefully.
Hallelujah.
I just wanted to come on tonight, first of all, giving much love, much honor to Pastor Dow and to Pastor Corey out here in KC, as well as to my master who's allowing me to call in tonight for the word. I just wanted to kind of give a testimony. I kind of felt like listening to the letter or the email that was sent in regarding some of the comments, you know, just thinking about coming into the ministry and my mindset and how it's changed over the course of time. I came in the ministry as a single mother, and just listening to the letter kind of struck a chord with me, not in a good way, I guess you could say, only because I know how contrary it is to the Most High, but the thinking of the world and the worldliness and praising women. Yes.
Just for a second, can you, I don't know if it's the moving around or just your connection, but I want to hear every word you have to say, and it comes in and out a little bit, very faint. But yeah,
sure.
Try to help me out. And go right ahead.
Okay.
Speak on.
Okay, is that any better? Try to move around and get a better connection.
Yeah, it's clear right now. Just speak clear and keep on going.
What was the last thing that you heard?
What was the last thing we heard? I was trying to turn up my volume. Mm-hmm. You were saying it struck a chord with you when you read the email?
Yes.
Coming
into
the faith.
Hearing the email.
Coming into the faith, you didn't have a father for your children.
Correct. I came into the faith as a single mother. Even in the world, I did grow up in a two-family household, so I wasn't the kind of person, even in the world, that wanted to keep my children's fathers away from them. I was kind of on the mindset of, well, if you're not going to be a strong figure father for the children, then that means I would have to find someone else who was, which in my household was more so my father. My father is very instrumental in my life as well as my children's life. Just trying not to go too deep into things, but I'm saying it struck a chord when she's saying how the uplifting the woman and how the woman does all of this and basically praising and worshiping the woman of being like the only person in the whole scenario, but of life. in my case, I knew at having a son, because my son was about 11 or 12 when we first started listening to Pastor Val, I, as a woman, could not teach him how to be a man, especially not a strong Israelite man. So I remember wanting to make sure that I know that that I'm submissive, not just to the, you know, to the ministry, but also to the Father, and making sure it's presented in my son's life to do the same. So I remember, in just a short testimony, I remember back on the conference, actually it was a debate when Pastor Dow was dating Roberts, we'll call him, about polygyny, and talking to my son was actually debating of things he was going to do after he graduated. And I remember telling him, well, we have elders, you know, you should go to the elders and talk to them. And I truly have to give so much honor and glory to the Most High and to the elders that we have, Elder Rufus, as well as Elder Austin, because I say even to this day, one of the greatest things that I have done was making sure that my son was under strong men to help him develop. I'm so proud of him, and I'm so thankful to them all, and I haven't really had a chance to do that, I guess, on a more public side. but I see, even to this day, my son is 21 and going on 22, and I am so thankful. I am so thankful for the men in this ministry that, and for Yah, you know, bringing us here, have those examples before us that I didn't, even as a single mother, I still had, Yah provided what I needed to help my son develop into a man. Not by my own doing, by Yah's doing, and through the leadership of this ministry. And I just wanted to put that out there, especially to encourage any other sisters, especially if you are a single sister. You're not really single. You still have headship here. And I'm going to stop talking now.
Hallelujah. No, thank you for your words. You know, we know your son, and we can bear witness to everything that the Father has done for him. Not in your personal way. I'm just meaning you can look at that spirit and say, wow, he's following, he's submitted. He's made a great father, a great dad. That's the type of men, you know, Brother Isaiah in the DMV area. Also, you know, there in the Georgia area, you got Josh and Josh Westmoreland. These men, these young men are just, they love Yah. It's so encouraging. Mm-hmm. So encouraging. It's a new thing. Yah's doing a new thing. Thank you for your call. Bless you. We're going to wrap it up and end the show, my sister.
Hallelujah. Bless y'all.
Hallelujah. All right. So we got a video about what to bring. How do we find it, Chef? If you're packing up, if you're bringing a tent, all those good things for the feast days, and you're staying on the land, how do we find it, Chef?
Go to Pastor Dow's
YouTube channel
in the search engine. Passover 2018.
Type in Passover 2018.
Straightway, what to bring.
All right, you'll see him in a video with him and a couple of boys showing you exactly what to bring for Passover. Okay, hope you got those steps. A sister in the comments said, perfect show because I've learned so much that I never knew before tonight. I, too, once used to call myself a black queen. My husband even calls me that, and now I know how to handle that word wisely and with a new understanding. I'm so glad that you made this comment because I would never want to throw salt or hinder someone's relationship. You know, that's never the intention of the show. A man who calls you that means it with great reverence and purpose, and that is that is not the type of spirit or mind that we were talking about tonight at all. So when we use the words that we use, we know our heart's intention. We support that. Mother Jennifer, help me out.
Yes, ma'am. It's all about the intent, and we will never go past, you know, a man's house. We will never go past what a man has decided for his home. So if his intent is to honor you, then you take that as him honoring you and respecting you, and you behave as a holy daughter of Zion. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Let's end with our king. It was not our king at all. The story of King Herod in Acts 12. He was sitting in his royal garment. You can imagine this Gentile, right, Greek-looking vaxhole. just throwing that in there. He's sitting on his throne, right? Makes an announcement to the people. Everybody's watching the guy's attention, right? They're just glorifying this man, pushing this man out there. You know, that's what they take us on our chin because they think we man worship here. But no worries because Yah just uses it to divide the sheep and the goats and to make others fear us. So we need you to stay right where you're at in your belief, okay? Stay right where you are. So the people give a big shout. And when they hear this man talking, they say, the voice of God. This is not a man. You know what happened? Immediately the angel of Yah smites him because he gave no glory to the Most High Yah. And he gave up the ghost. And the account says he was eaten by worms. So it's actually much more sinful or iniquitous or transgressive to glorify a man for more than what he is. All right? Jeremiah 13:18 says, say unto the king and to the queen, humble yourself and sit down. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, end the show.
Hallelujah. Bless you, daughters of Zion. Remember to think on these words that we have talked about tonight and make sure that there is nothing in your heart that resonates with the letter that we read. Really be upfront and honest with the Most High, so that you can repent and you can seek his blood for forgiveness and you can be clean. Blessings to you all. Shalom.